Well, it's good to see you all this morning. It's not hot outside. It's a little humid, but I think we got a bit of summer this past week. The wonderful tropical storm, I can't remember, it started with an A because it's the first one of the year, so I'll always remember that. But I'm so glad that summer's here and that we're out of winter, and it's nice outside, right? It's nice to get out, which also means yard work, which is what I did all weekend, which was fun. My name is Brett Luker. And just so in case some of y'all don't know who I am, I actually work with a Christian group at MSU called Christian Challenge. And my wife and I have been up here for about 5 years. We work with college students there, and helps keep me young, as you can imagine. So we've been coming here to Cedar Street since November. I'm also known as the guitar guy, as Pastor Dean had referenced several weeks ago. But one of the cool things about a little bit about me is I'm from a unique town called Santa Claus, Indiana. Has anybody ever heard of Santa Claus, Indiana? Yes, there are people who have heard of Santa Claus, Indiana. I am not the only one. I am not crazy. You can ask any of these people that just raised their hands, and it does exist. There's a place called Holiday World and Splash and Safari. It's an amusement park. It's kind of like Michigan Adventure. It's in the middle of nowhere. You're just driving along, and all of a sudden, whoa, there's roller coasters in the middle of nowhere. What's going on? Crazy. But being from the Midwest, you know, one of the things that we don't have is our beaches, right? We don't have too much sand going around. You know, there's a lot of man-made lakes. If we ever wanted to go on vacation, you know, we would have to go to the Gulf or to the Atlantic, Florida, something that's nice and warm and sunny, and you get to just lay out on the beach, enjoy the sun, get a tan, or get a farmer's tan like what I got going on right now. But it's something different. And one of the cool things about going to the beach is you make sandcastles, right? Now, how many of y'all made sandcastles as a kid? Yeah, and some of you are like, as a kid, I just made one yesterday. What are you talking about? Just made one yesterday. So we have to make sandcastles as a kid or even as adults. So how do you start a sandcastle? Build a foundation. He's reading off my screen. Amazing. You build a foundation. Usually you start off with your sand, you level it out. And then you start with usually like a bucket. Maybe if you're fancy, you have a bucket that's got a mold so it can look more like a castle. Pack that with sand, and boom, you place one there, maybe another. Maybe you have like four corners, and you kind of have a real castle starting up. Well, now that it's got this shape, now we got to maybe put a wall around it, right? So then you go out and gather some sticks, make a nice border, make it look really nice. And now comes the fun part, okay? Now we got to get some water in there. We got to build a moat. So now you start digging out with a shovel, getting this big water. Because why? Because you got to protect it, right? You want to protect it from any invaders that are going to come in. That's what a castle is supposed to be. It's this impenetrable fortress that you're building. But one of the things that I found when I would build a sandcastle is when I would build the moat and the water would come in, it wouldn't take long for all of a sudden the foundation from underneath that sandcastle to rot away. That all of a sudden it would just start, parts of it would start sinking, and you're going, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I spent 10 minutes on this thing, now it's falling apart. And because of water, got in and started rotting away the foundation. And a lot of times in our lives, we try to build our lives like we build our sandcastles. We try to put all this exterior stuff. We try to make it look nice. We try to build our lives. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's money. And you try to build it on this foundation, which is sand. And this morning, we're going to talk about foundations and what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7 when it comes to which foundation you should build your life on. So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We have it on the screen here. I'm going to poke fun at my brother, Mick. Nice thing about this, it doesn't die. It doesn't run out of batteries. So it's nice. Love you, brother. So starting in chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, Jesus just got done preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. So He's basically telling the Jewish people, hey, what you've been doing is wrong. what you thought anger meant, what you thought murder meant. Well, guess what? If you're angry at your brother or sister, you just committed murder in your heart. And you can imagine they're sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute, this is the foundation that we put our livelihood on. This is what we thought was solid ground. And Christ came and he rattled the cages so much that all of a sudden the ground that they thought they were standing on firm began to shake, began to crumble around them. And a lot of times when we think about how we're supposed to live our life, it's to be put on a certain foundation that is maybe not so much on Christ, but maybe on something of this world. And Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words, okay, so the first thing he wants us to do is hear these words. Now, most of y'all probably have children, I would assume. And y'all know what listening skills are, right? Or lack of listening skills. And when God speaks in our lives, sometimes we like to have what I call selective hearing. My wife and I are working at Bambi this summer, and it's been wonderful. And there's a couple of guys there that who are maintenance guys. And I'm just going to say they're a little bit seasoned, meaning they can't hear very well. So usually when I'm having a conversation with them or I'm trying to ask them a question, I already know that I'm going to have to repeat it twice. All right? Hey, so-and-so, can you get me this wrench? Usually the word after that is, huh? You know, or this look on their face like, what? What'd you say? And a lot of times when Christ speaks into our own lives, we have a problem with listening. We have a problem of maybe sometimes God says, hey, I want you to go do this. And we have that selective hearing going on. Or maybe we go, oh, I don't know. I don't know, God. You really want me to go overseas? You really want me to uproot my family and move to another state? A lot of times we have this problem of listening to what God is telling us. Because if we're just listening, if we're just reading these words and not doing anything about it, what good is it to us? What good is it? And that's why he says in the next part of that verse, hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man. And we all want to be wise, right? None of us want to be considered fools. And doing them, you know, he gives us some examples of what that might be like. So if you have your Bibles or your tablet, you can flip over to chapter 6. I'm just going to read a couple things here. In verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So one of the things that he's telling us to do is to lay up what? Our treasures in heaven, not to rely on the things of this world. Because guess what? We can't keep it. We can't take it with us. It's just stuff. I mean, how many times do we have a car, we just bought, it's nice, and all of a sudden it gets wrecked, and we're devastated. But really, we should go, well, it's just stuff. We can't take it with us. Another thing that he says tells us to do to be like a wise man is to, in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Gosh, how many times do we wake up every morning going, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. Man, how am I going to pay this next bill? How am I going to pay rent? I just lost my job. How am I going to do these things? How am I going to provide? If you caught something there, I kept saying, I. Because it's not about me. We're not supposed to be anxious about tomorrow because why? Because God has tomorrow. Brother Mick, last week, the title of his sermon was, anybody remember? The battle belongs to the Lord. Those are the things that he can take care of. Those are things that he can put in our lives when we have no idea that it's coming. And Christ is reaffirming these things through the sermon to the Jewish people. In order to be wise, you need to do these things. Now, works does not save us. Okay, and there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Nothing that we can do that can exalt us. I mean, think about the verse we just said earlier, Galatians 2:20. If, what is it? If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If we could save ourselves, then what was the purpose of Jesus Christ? He came to this earth, proclaimed a message of salvation, and yet if it's still by works, then why in the world did he come? Why was he here? It's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ can do. Now, doing these things is not easy. It's not easy to just all of a sudden give up everything, or it's not easy to not be anxious, right? If it was easy, then everybody would do it. If it was easy, then none of us would have any problems. There wouldn't need to be counselors in the world. But we struggle day in, day out. In Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily and follow me. And that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they cannot get over the fact that they have to deny themselves. That it's not about me, but it's all about him. And in verse 25, Jesus kind of, this is why we build our foundation on Christ. He says, and the rain fell. Has anybody ever experienced like when you think the rain's falling but it's pouring? There's been days like that for me where it's like, man, it's raining but it's pouring. And the floods came. And he's not talking about the floods in your basement, okay? He's talking about the floods from when it rains so much that you're just like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. How am I going to get out of this water where I feel like I'm just sinking, I'm drowning, there's nothing else I can do? And the winds came, blew, and beat on that house. So when we get these, I feel like we get punched. I mean, I'm glad we prayed for Brother Dean earlier, but you know, you can imagine that he's probably getting some wind blown on him right now. That for him and his wife, that water's pouring on him. But I can guarantee you this, because in this verse, Christ again says, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So as Pastor Dean is dealing with the illnesses, and even as us, as we deal with illnesses maybe in our own lives, maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose a family member. Maybe you had a bill that came up that you weren't expecting. Maybe you had someone accuse you of something that you didn't do. Man, the wind is blowing. I'm telling you, if you put your faith and your foundation in Jesus Christ, you will not fall. Why? Because he's the rock. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the one that we can put our entire lives, our trust in him. And we will not fall. In verse 26, he kind of gives us what the alternative is. If we don't put our foundation in the Lord, then where's our foundation going to lie? It's going to lie in sand. He says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, one of the unique things about sand is, being up further in northern Michigan, if you all have ever been to Traverse City area, my wife and I actually just visited there Monday it was. First time I've been up there. Beautiful place. But there's sand everywhere. And you're like, how in the world did they build on this sand? Well, guess what they had to do? If anybody's an engineer, they know that when you build on sand, what do you have to go to?
Bedrock.
And sometimes that bedrock is not 10 feet above the ground. Sometimes it's 20, 30, maybe 50 feet below. They got to go all the way down to bedrock. So even our builders know that you cannot build your lives on sand. And Jesus is saying, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is building on sand. So if we're not listening to God's voice, we're not listening to what Jesus is teaching us, then who are we listening to? Listen to maybe our friends and what the world tells us to do. Maybe our peers tell us that, you know, what was done to you was wrong. And in those cases, yeah, maybe that was it. Or maybe you should fight for that promotion. Maybe you should do something more than what God is telling you to do. Maybe you need to add to it. As believers, I know I'm guilty of this in my own personal life, is I stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ because I believe him as my Lord and Savior. But sometimes I like to build a castle in my life on the sand. Sometimes I like to maybe want to add a little bit to the foundation. Maybe I want to step outside of that. Maybe I need an addition. Okay? I need an addition to this castle that I've made, that I've firmly rooted in Christ's foundation. And man, let me tell you, it's quick. That foundation will fall. When I think my job is secure, when you think that your money comes from an employer, what happens when you lose that job? What do you do? It's scary, sure. You cry out, God, what am I going to do? There's been moments in my life where I've had to step out on faith. My wife and I moved to Fort Worth, Texas. We got married on August 1st, and on August 11th, we moved to Fort Worth, Texas. 23 years old, and it's funny because, you know, we were young and we were excited. If a 23-year-old came to me and said they were moving to Texas after just getting married, I'd say, you're crazy. Not only were we moving 1,000 miles away, but we didn't have a job. We didn't have any income. But we knew this is what God was telling us to do. And there's going to be times in your life where God is telling you something and you're not really quite sure how you're going to get there. But because we put our faith and trust in the Lord, because we made our finances built on foundation of rock, we knew that God had his hand in it. We knew that God was going to provide, that he was going to take care of us. In the verses I read earlier in chapter 6, you know, Jesus talking about anxiety, you know, he goes on to refer to the birds of the air, that they don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. They don't have to worry about what they're going to do the next day. God provides for them. And another thing that we don't do if we build our house on the sand is not only do we not hear, but we don't do. We disobey God. And in James talks about how our desire to pursue what? To pursue ourselves leads to what? Leads to sin. And all of a sudden we find ourselves just sinking. And we're not sure why. It's because the world tells us that what they offer is solid. I mean, working with college kids has taught me one thing, that they just, they're not sure what they're going to do with their life after they graduate. Because the world is telling a lot of them that, hey, you need to go get an education. And I'm not saying education is not important. It is. But a lot of them do so, maybe they do so without ever having prayed about it, considering that this is what God wants for their life. Maybe God is calling them to work at a summer camp, go overseas missions. But the world is saying, no, go do this, go do that. Serving the Lord is not a noble task. Man, that is so wrong. Serving the Lord is, calling of the Lord is an amazing calling. God can do things in your life that you will never, ever expect. He surprises me every day. And honestly, guys, if we're not following the will of God, we're following ourselves and we're following the lion that prowls around this world and seeks to devour us. There's a song called Cornerstone by a band called Day of Fire. And the first verse of that song, the first line, it says, all other ground is sinking sand, a doubting maze of desert land. Think about that for a moment. All other ground is sinking sand. I mean, everything else that you're going to put your life on that is not found on Christ is sinking. A doubting maze of desert land. Going back to my college student example, a lot of them just don't know what they're supposed to do in life. Maybe as adults, a lot of times we don't know where God is going to take us. Maybe we're not sure which road to take. And maybe we pursue things that are maybe worldly or ungodly. And guess what? We start doubting if that was the right decision. And like a maze, we start weaving in and out, trying to find happiness, trying to find joy. Maybe you tried to find happiness and joy in stuff, you know? A lot of times, for me, that's a struggle, is having the next best thing. But it's never satisfying. Why? Because again, I'm laying treasures up on this earth. It's not going to be satisfying because the sand underneath it is just going to keep washing away. It's a doubting maze of desert land. I mean, desert land, there's nothing out there. Verse 27, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Jesus is basically setting up saying, I am going to outlive this world. I am going to come. I am going to die. I am going to resurrect. And that's why anytime that we put our faith and trust in something else that is not Christ, that's why the fall tends to be greater. It's because when the challenges of the world hit us, all of a sudden we just fall to our knees and don't know where to go. And Jesus understands that whenever he returns, the world is going to be what? The world is going to be proven wrong. As the worship band comes back up and leads us an invitation, I want to leave you guys with some things. One of the things that we need to do as believers is we need to stop building in the sand and start anchoring in the foundation of Christ. How do we do that? One, we got to make Christ the cornerstone of our life. That everything that we build, the foundation is he is the center of it. That he is the rock that holds everything together. We need to anchor in his word and in prayer. Reading scripture daily will not only teach you more about Christ, but also strengthen you. That when the winds come, that you will know how to battle against it. That you will know and understand God's purpose. And finally, another way we can anchor in the foundation of Christ is be in a biblical community. Now, every morning we share about what's going on in our small groups. And guys, small groups are so important because it's not only do you have time to share with other believers what's going on in your life, but you're able to grow together, encourage one another. Maybe what's going on in your life someone else has already experienced. That's part of the foundations that we need to put in our lives. Guys, there's a lot of smart people out there. There's also a lot of wise ones, then a lot of smart people that are not wise. And so we are wise by following Christ. We are wise by believing that he is the Son of God and that he can be the foundation for our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. And God, I just pray that whatever's on people's hearts, that they will just lift them up to you. That if anyone is struggling with a foundation, that maybe that you are not their foundation, I pray that you will just give them the encouragement and the wisdom to seek out how they need to change their lives so that you are the rock that they set their lives on. God, you are everything. You are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the one that can provide for our needs. You are the one that can shepherd and grow our hearts. So God, I ask as we leave this morning, that you will continue to teach us and love us and show us what it's like for you to be the foundation and the cornerstone of our life. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.